Father, as we come under the command of your word, help us to listen. Guide our hearts through your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may ever be one. I ask all this in the name of our Lord. Amen. Good morning, friends. If I may ask, friends, how many of you like to be reminded by those who have offered help to them, retelling that I did this and that for you? If I am correct, most people do not like to be reminded, even our own kids, our own children, do not like the idea of being told how much we are striving to make their life better. Ungabezwe esulwini bekhuluma kanje. Bathi akave ebalisalana uma noma ubaba. Meaning my mom and dad likes reminding me how much is she striving or he's striving to make my life better. Yet maybe this is not a bad idea at all when done with good intentions, or done out of love. This idea we found many times in the Bible as a reminder of how God has been good to his people. Listen how God reminded his new established nation at Mount Sinai after saving them from Egypt in Exodus chapter 20 verses 2 to 3. Listen. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God's reminder to Israel is echoed by one of our Zulu hymn, Hymn 139, which says, Ngingenwe emoyeni wami, yilizwi lakho Nkosi yami, sengilambele wena ungene ubuse kimi. Which these words mean, I have been indwelled by your word, and I hunger for you. Reign in me. When it continues in stanza 2, it says, my soul has been defiled by all sinfulness, but God, please cleanse me now from all defilement, and fashion me in your likeness. As this hymn develops its stanzas, it narrates the salvation story of each and every believer and retells him or her how God has brought every believer from the depth of hell and raised him or her and seated him with Christ in the highest heavens. Whenever these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, either spoken by God or God's spokesperson, the prophets, these words serve as a reminder of the salvation story of Israel, so that they should not forget what God has done for them. To recap in the book that we've done in chapters 2 of Ephesians, Paul is doing exactly the same what God did at Mount Sinai to his people, the children of Israel. In the retelling of salvation story to the church in Ephesus, Paul tells the believers in Ephesus, both Jews and Gentiles in verses 10, how bad their situation was before the special grace of God re-established them in Christ Jesus. All the believers were dead in their sins and transgressions before God raised them to life again in Christ, which tells that they were under the dominion of Satan. This means though they were seen to believing, but in actual fact, they were facing death as they were under the wrath of God and unable to obey God, only being tossed to and fro by sin. flesh and the world, so that when physical death finds them, all the days they lived on earth will end in tears and torment, because they were not brought back to life again. They died in their sins, but through God's mercy and love, Paul ends this section by demonstrating how God brought all those who put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ back to life, first giving them new life, making them a new people belonging to God. Therefore, friends, if we put our trust in Christ Jesus, we are God's new people, or we are God's new creation on earth. People who are helpless and hopeless, destined for eternal destruction. He closes his storytelling in verses 10, that only God is the helper of the helpless and the giver of hope to the hopeless. He raised the dead so that they can become part of a new family, who are no longer enemies of God, but who are now friends of God. Then in verses 11 to 22, Paul changes his focus now. He narrates the previous relationship between God and Gentiles, between Jews and Gentiles. In this section, Paul places side by side Gentiles and Jews. The fact that they were enemies, they didn't have relationship with God. They were not enemies of God only, but they were enemies of God's people as well. The typical example of the Gentiles' previous relationship that exists between God and Gentiles, Gentiles and God's people, the Jews, can be clearly seen from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in response to a Syrophoenician woman who begged him to cast demons out of her daughter. Jesus Christ said to her in Mark 7 verses 27, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." All the people who were non-Jewish, who were of non-Jewish origin, were enemies of God. And not only enemies of God, they were as well enemies of God's people. This it does not only come by their natural ancestry or descent, but it was because of their sinful practices. If we remember, friends, why God did dispossess the nations who lived in Canaan and gave the land to his newly established nation, the children of Israel, it was not because these people who lived in the promised land were, it was because these people who live in the promised land were heartless, godless. They even sacrificed their sons and daughters to their gods. Therefore, God used Israel as an instrument to execute his punishment to those uncircumcised men, to those uncircumcised nations. If we look to our second scripture, Samuel chapter 17, verses 26, it really shows us that those who do not belong to God, they are enemies of God's people. So the Gentiles, the Jews, they were even calling them dogs because they saw people without human status. So that is why Paul is saying to them now in verses 11 to 18, you were not a people. Paul reminds the Gentile believers who they were before trusting in God through faith in Christ. He says, remember how you were considered by God and his people. You were not a people. Paul does not look at their origin, but he looks at their spiritual life. verses 11 to 12 tells that the Gentiles were separated from God, meaning they were without Christ, they were without state, they were without friends, they were hopeless and godless, doomed for disgrace. All those who are not yet recreated through Christ, it doesn't matter how much should we love them as our families. But the fact is, if they haven't come to faith in Christ, they are our enemies, and as well, they are enemies of God. What does that mean, to be dead in their sin and to be separated in Christ? It means when the physical death, the first death, comes their way, all the life that they have lived on earth will end up in tears and in torment, because they are heading for eternal destruction. They are like a tree planted away from the streams of the living waters, which dies a slow death. Day by day it withers. Then when the sun scorches it completely, it completely dies. So all the Gentiles were like that before they came to faith in Christ. It doesn't matter, friends, from which ethnic group you come from. But if you don't have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, you are not a friend even to his family. But your destination is the eternal destruction, other than eternal bliss. Hear what Paul says in verses 13 to 18. God raised those who believe in Christ from death and brought them to life in Christ. Listen to what Paul says in verses 13. But now in Christ, who you are once of, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This verse gives the hopeless and helpless Gentiles a new beginning, in that they are no longer brought closer only to God, but they have given peace, meaning the enmity that existed between them and God's people is now abolished, and they are made friends of God and friends of the Jewish people. They are incorporated to the inheritance of God. As verses 14 to 15a tells us, in verses 15b to 18, Paul tells us that Christ's death on the cross made the two nations, Jews and Gentiles, to be a single humanity, which is bonded together by God's Spirit, which recreates every believer to be what God has predestined every one of us. But first, God chose the Jews to be the light to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles are incorporated to the Jews. Through his beloved Son, who came not only to proclaim peace, but he came because both Jews and Gentiles can be given an access equally to God the Spirit and have a new life. Friends, what privilege would a man consider it greater than the privilege of belonging to our eternal God, the privilege that direct us to eternal life, the privilege that raises us from death, the privilege that takes away all fears of life and make us to triumph over sin and death? Then Paul, finally, in verses 19 and 22, he now speaks to both Gentiles and Jews. He says to them, now you are a special people of God, established through Christ. He tells both Jews and Gentiles who they are now in Christ. He says, you are a special people. You are people different from all the people on earth. He begins this section, if we note it clearly, by using now, then, instead of using the conjunction that he used when he begins the previous section, where he used but. But now he concludes by saying to them, then now you are no longer what you have been, now that you are in Christ. Verses 19a tells that you are now a single nation. You are now one person. One person. You are now given access to God. You belong to God. You are a people holy and sanctified to God. What was the reason for Paul for giving all this narration? He was telling now the believers at Ephesus that when they look to each other, they should not look in the eyes which they used to look at, the lenses that when a Jew looks at a Gentile, he sees an enemy of God. It is like, so friends, even to us. God wants us as believers, when we look to each other, we know these three things, that now in Christ, we are one nation. Christ has abolished all hostility, enmity that existed among us. Secondly, now we are Christ's family. What does it mean to be Christ's family or God's family? It means that we need to share the blessing that we have one to each other. What does it mean? It also means, because one important thing is to have access to God. What does it mean to have access to God? It means that when we go through troubles and tribulations, we pray together as a unity. We pray together as a unity. Verses 20 to 22. We are God's temple. What does it mean to be God's temple? It means that God dwells in us through His Spirit. God dearly loves His church. He puts to each and every believer His Holy Spirit, so that on a daily basis, the Spirit of God renews us daily. The Spirit of God strengthens us daily, so that when we face many challenges on earth, you know that you've got a brother and a sister who feels the pain that you're feeling, who's walking the walk that you're going through, who's walking the walk that you're going through. So friends, indeed, it is a great privilege to belong to God. It is a great joy to be a different nation in the world that is so indignant, in the world that does not want to come to God. What is our calling then? All believers are given a new identity. They belong to each other. What does that mean? Friends, there's no best identity on earth and belonging than to identify yourself first with God and identify yourself first with the people who belong to God. You cherish your belonging. Secondly, friends, we are called to hold fast to the principles of our new belonging. Therefore, what are these principles? The Church of God is founded on two principles, faith and love. So whatever hinders us from holding these two principles. Let's ask God, who's rich in all mercy, to help us daily to grow in faith and love, and as well to grow in the knowledge of His Word. Lastly, friends, let's celebrate our new belonging fully as God's people, and we appreciate each other. Let's pray. Lord, nothing speaks more clearly of your love than the cross of Christ. Through his suffering and death, you brought to you your people from all nations. You created a special people for yourself and demolished all hostilities that divided your people. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us who are far off to your inheritance. Bless our fellowship. Help us to keep the unity of the church. Help us as your co-workers not to be like your children Israel, who failed to stand up to their vocation. Strengthen us through your Spirit to be diligent and bring all those that you have called to your belonging. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.